Okay, so I'll be leaving this afternoon, later this afternoon, heading back to central Thailand, and then later on in the month back to Ubayagiri. So I'd just like to express my appreciation for my stay here. I've had a pleasant stay, and just to encourage you all to be attentive to the foundations of practice, the putting our effort and attention towards the basics, the foundations are sometimes not so not so flashy, not so not so dazzling, but the reality is that our practice really grows and develops from these fundamental foundations of our mindfulness, our restraint, our continuity of establishing a focused attention, and then reflection, investigation, but also the elements of the formal application towards the qualities of like generosity, kindness, being willing to help out. Their Ajahn Yatiko received I think some kind of birthday card or something from his mother, and it was a kind of a Christian motif with an older kind of monk in the, and this is obviously in a church or monastery, an older monk in the front, and then there's this sort of this line of four or five kind of younger, either young priests or monks or applicants or postulants, and the kind of the caption is, I'm sure you're all aware of the kind of the ethos here in this place. Monkey see, monkey do. So it's a sort of just a play on this sort of idiom of monkey see, monkey do. But it's kind of cute. But it's also, in terms of when one sees, and one is both seeing the example and of others that are practicing well, or of those who are senior establishing one's conduct in line with that, rather than making it up for oneself, as well as in terms of living together. When you see something that needs to be done, you do it. It's a very simple equation for how a monastery functions and how a monastery every it's so easy to slip into a kind of cause or institutionalized framework of mind where you're waiting to be told something to do, or waiting to be, it has to be spelled out to you before you're going to put the effort into doing it. And that's not very, it's not a good formula for really making good use of the lifestyle. So that when one sees that something needs to be done, whether it's the some of the aspects of just cleaning up, looking after the place, taking care of the buildings, the facilities, keeping things neat and tidy, or seeing what needs to be done in terms of, I'm here in a monastery, I'm in training, or, learning the chanting, learning the. You don't need to be told, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. I mean, it's obvious that there's things that are the skills of a monastic. Learning how to do that, learning how to look after your requisites, learning how to look after the facilities, so that monkey see, monkey do, and putting that attention and effort, and you realize that that actually forms part of the continuity of our training. That's what the training in mindfulness and concentration and wisdom, there's a glue that holds that together, and the glue is oftentimes that kind of willingness and generosity of spirit that gives oneself to the practice. And it's not waiting for something done or just trying to fulfill some kind of something that's written down in a book somewhere. There's no real heart to that. To really grow in the practice, it really has to come from that kind of giving to the practice. I mean, you get out of the practice what you put into it. So that to give yourself to the practice, give yourself to the community. Give up your personal agendas. It's an opportunity to kind of rise beyond that, and pay attention to the qualities that keep sort of blocking us, and see what one can be done to be slowly undermining those. A lot of it is around the aspects of how much time and energy we put into kind of proliferation, speculation, proliferation. What should I do? What shouldn't I do? What should the monastery be like? What are these people doing? It's just this constant energy that we put into that mind that keeps spinning out. And it's actually one of the qualities that the Buddha accredits or gives to the qualities of a great being. This aspect of humility, not self-aggrandizing, not trying to prop oneself up, push oneself forward, or getting just obsessed with oneself. That sense of humility is a foundation of any kind of goodness. And this isn't concerned with being a Buddhist monk or even being a Buddhist. It's sort of in terms of the human condition, really learning how to live in a humble and a way that doesn't get caught up in the machinations of self, and the quality of contentment, learning how to be content, and that sense of whether it's material things or experience of saying, this is enough. Yes, this is, and the living here at Wat Nanachat. Okay, you've got enough for your practice. And you can always think of all sorts of other things that you need or want or should have or desire, but in reality, just there's much more benefit arising when one doesn't buy into this aspects of discontent. And discontent is always looking for an object, and so that to not be hooked by that, and just learning how to be content with the circumstances, and certainly in terms of meditation, if one isn't content with one's meditation object, if one isn't content with being mindful, then like forget about all these. You know, you can sit around and speculate about jhana and refined states of consciousness, but you know, it's just that. It's just a lot of thinking and proliferating. There's the fundamental contentment is you really work on that foundation of how the mind work. What does the mind go out to? Is there a quality of contentment? How to establish? How to undermine discontent? These are fundamental ways of cultivation and basis of our spiritual practice. Aspects of being drawing towards solitude rather than socializing, paying attention to putting forth effort rather than just sort of opting for the easiest way, sort of easiest, quickest way. And that was I was reminded that with Ajahn Kavali coming back from seeing His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and it's actually the very first teachings that I went of His Holiness is in Los Angeles, big kind of a basketball stadium at UCLA, a couple thousand people, and He's giving many days of teachings refined aspects of emptiness and then after maybe about the third day or something, and He's taking questions from the audience, and one of the questions is what's and He reads it out, what's the easiest, quickest way to experience emptiness? And He just looked at it and he just went silent. He went really silent. And then he put his head down. And you wouldn't believe how still. I mean, it's a huge auditorium. It's just still. And then after a few minutes, he actually, so he came up, he blew his nose white, and he was crying. And he just said, he was really fierce. He said, somebody looking for the easiest, quickest way to emptiness is just really completely lost. And he was really fierce. And it was like, and it was just, he said, and it just really saddens me that somebody, thinks that way. And it's just, it's so sad. I was really, it was very moving. Because that, you think, here's the kind of the embodiment of compassion. He's the emanation of Chenrezig, the bodhisattva of compassion. He's been being reborn for who knows how many times, and you think he's up there giving the hardest, most difficult way to, and he's trying to help. And somebody is just not willing to put forth the effort, not willing to apply, not willing, and looking to cut corners, looking to just so that cutting corners, take an easy way, there's no big result from that, but being willing to apply yourself, being willing to put forth effort and not something that is kind of heroic and self-aggrandizing, but just a steady, a willingness to put forth steady application towards the good, towards the peaceful. towards the virtuous. These are, it takes an effort, that sense of you know, being mindful rather than being scattered, being focused and concentrated, steady, being willing to investigate. These are all things that the Buddha said, you know, these are qualities that we rely on. But then he also, the last quality is to non-proliferation. Non-proliferation, not getting caught in that, or imagine Jeff translates it as non-objectification, where we objectify the world external to us, and then we proliferate around it. We invest our likes and our dislikes, our wants and our aversions into the external things, and it's objectification. And it's about, and we do that, say, internally with our own mind and our own temperament. We kind of objectify who we think we are. I'm like this, I'm like that, I'm such a terrible meditator, I'm such a good monk. And, you know, all of these are just objectifications or proliferations. Because all that is arising is this mental phenomena. And when it, when they arise without mindfulness and you feed them with proliferation, yeah, it ends up in a place of suffering and confusion. So to be willing to cut through that tendency to proliferate and to be hooked by that. And that using the tools that you have, learning how to use the tools. It's being a skilled craftsman. Takes some skill, takes some being willing to apply yourself. And I think of the Buddha, and he's incredibly observant. Think of him, there's a beautiful image he's saying, like with a hammer or an adze, an axe, a tool that a person uses, and it isn't as if, and it ends up with the, you know, with the handprint worn into the handle of this person using the tool, and there's no indication really of how much, when that sort of, you know, you can't say so this day wore out so much and it got that imprint so much, but this day got so much, but over time. That's there. In the same way that we can't really practice and say, well, this today I relinquished so many units of greed, hatred, and delusion, or I got so many units of generosity and kindness. But it's you keep working at this practice. You keep working at it. It's like learning how to use that tool. And it's like the Buddha. I'm sure the Buddha. I mean, the Buddha grew up a prince. He didn't. Bet he didn't use tools all that much, but he had that observant mind, paid attention to things around him, and we have to cultivate that ourselves, and how to take our experience and draw it back inwards, and be a skilled craftsperson, be a skilled craftsman in applying the tools of our spiritual practice. So anyway, offer that for reflection.